And we just want to say simply welcome tonight. Appreciate Steve Quayle, and thank you for the opportunity to be a guest host. We love doing it on Tuesday nights at 7 Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to say this, that this is a providential hour of history. I think we know that. I think we know that, we have so many things going on around us, so many things happening in the world, so many of us looking to the events. We're hearing the alarm bells. We're hearing the screamers tell us about the end of days and what we need to do to get ready. But in the context of all of that, listen, listen, there are many people that are going to get ready. There are going to be many people that have everything they need for the end of days. Because they've seen the world and they have watched how things are going and they are preparing themselves. And the question is whether or not ultimately, if you know God, have a relationship with God in the context of it all. See, the end of the world deals with the supernatural dark side, the exertion of its ultimate will to power. Well, tonight we're going to talk about Friedrich Nietzsche a little bit. We're going to talk about nihilism. And we're going to look at the sense of will to power, God is dead, will to survive, avoid death with all your being, end of life issues. This is Russ Dizdar, the guest host tonight. Our website is shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Take a look there. A bunch of hundreds of MP3s that are free, courses, materials, conferences. By the way, Las Vegas, Nevada, August 27th, August 28th. I'll be there on Friday and Saturday speaking. And if you go to the site, you can see the flash picture there. Just click on the August 27th. Conference, and they'll give you the webpage. Lynn Marzulli will be there, and Connie Huff will be there, and others. And we want to encourage you to consider coming. Tom Horn, many of you know about, and Derek and Sharon Gilbert of PID Radio are other speakers at the conference October 1st and 2nd, Canton, Ohio. And they are part of the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference here in, in my neck of the woods. I live very close. So we hope to meet many of you as we did in Nashville and St. Louis and Michigan this year. And we want to say, listen, we're simply here because of the compelling nature of God's love and what we need to be able to share in an urgent sense in these last days. Now, you can take a look at all of the news today that's going on, and it's you know, the ex-senator dies in plane crash there in Alaska, Ted Stevens. We pray for the family, and we don't like to hear. We find out 1,100 or more missing in China, the floods. We look over in Afghanistan, and the Taliban have shot up and killed 10 aid workers, well, because they're believers in Christ. And they were involved, yes, in a witness of their lives, but they're helping individuals. One of those ladies that was there that was shot and killed lived here probably 20 minutes from where I'm at. And so that's the kind of world. It's really no different, in a sense, than the world that Friedrich Nietzsche was plunged into. Now stop for a moment and think about this. All of a sudden, you're out there walking and you're pushed into a crowd. You bump into two or three people and they turn around and one pushes you. You hit another. They turn around. They push you into another. And this one pushes. This one kicks. This one knocks you to the ground. Somebody picks you up. People yell at you and scream at you. Someone pushes you away. You lose your shoes. You got one shoe on, one shoe off. You got a bloody lip and your elbows scraped. And there you go as you look for someone somewhere to give you comfort. And there's no one with an outstretched arm. I think that many individuals that get cynical, that get angry, that get bitter in life. I think Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher, if you call him that, some say influenced Hitler, or that Hitler may have read, Mussolini may have read his materials, individuals read. I read in college Nietzsche, and looking at bits and pieces more, I understood more and more what he taught. We're going to look over some of that tonight in context of the supernaturalism that's going on as a primary element of stealing hearts and lives from God. See, the world that we're living in, Nietzsche was never able to say, we're living in a broken, fallen world where there's pain and there's the reality of radical evil. We're living in a world where we have been separated from God, and we've got death inside of us, and we've got sin and dysfunction inside of our lives. And so when somebody tries to live in the crowd, when somebody's pushed and pushed again and pushed again, got a bloody lip, got a skinned elbow, one shoe on, one shoe off, and tries to figure out why anybody pushed you. Who was the first person that pushed? Why didn't anybody come to your aid? Who picked you up? Where'd your other shoe go? So a lot of people are just simply trying to figure out life, and I think that's what a lot of the philosophers do. You know, I don't meet very many philosophers today. I mean, when I was in colleges and in schools and engaged people taking courses, or someone saying that they're working on a master's in philosophy, I guess my question was, why, other than becoming a teacher, were you going to teach philosophy? By the way, did you know that many teachers of philosophy in universities everywhere are engaged more and more and more into the supernaturalism than they are the actual philosophy of the past anyway? So how are you doing tonight? This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. You're listening to Survive to Thrive, the radio network, and we are in a series this week that is using the theme, listen now, exchanging the truth for a lie. As I said the hour before, anybody that grips a lie, well, it means that you don't have a grip on God. You haven't let God grip your heart. A lie is a lie that never leads you to God. A lie is a lie that can open the door for a dark presence. See, I'm really convinced that, like many of these, Schopenhauer and Wagner and Nietzsche and many of those, they had all kinds of bitterness about God, about, quote, religion, Christianity. They had a lot of concept about life. But they didn't live well, and they didn't die well. I want to say that's clear about Aleister Crowley for those who of you on the other side of the fence that check in. So how are you living? The question is, how will you die? Again, if the great chaos is coming and millions will die, if the Georgia Guidestones are saying that there's a goal to decrease the population, which biblical prophecy teaches that at least 4 billion or more will lose their lives in less than a 5-year span, will you be one of them? Will you be out of here? Came back from Nashville, my 78-year-old mother, we thought we lost her three different times in the last number of years. Knowing there, as I talked her into going out for getting lunch, got her out in the wheelchair thing and all, you know, all those kind of things we had to use. And her oxygen tank and all that. So we're at Carrabba's down in Nashville, and she orders a steak. She couldn't read anything, so I had to explain everything to her. And here I am, the son, 53 years old, my mother, 78 years old, my daughter sitting next to to her grandmother. She's 19. My daughter can see very well, and I still have some blur going on, but my mom can't see at all. 78 years old, frail, and she told me about a month ago, all I care about, all I want to do, I just ask God to go ahead and take me home. She's got a lot of pain in her life, a lot of things, but we had a good time together. There'll be a day and an hour in which she does die. Listen, as we talk about exchanging the truth for a lie, what is death? Why is it here? You know, what's it all about? We touched on it somewhat Monday night too. See, there are strongholds of the mind and heart, just as there is a ramping up of the dark side, which, by nature, as Jesus taught, the father of lies will propagate, well, new systems of thinking, new systems to grab hearts and minds, something that would replace. We're meant to have an attachment to God, a heart for God, a relationship to God. But in the fall, in the breaking away, in a fallen world, there is an exchange. And I believe that's true about Nietzsche and others. And that's what God says when it comes to philosophy and political thought and economic and the writers and even the poets and the lyrics of the musicians. Remember listening to Ozzy Osbourne years ago. He sings a song about a little boy named Johnny and about all the pain that Johnny's going through. And he has this part of his lyrics where it says, Johnny knows well that this life is hell for sure. I've never forgot that phrase that I listened to years ago, years and years and years ago. Johnny knows well that this life is hell for sure. Well, it can seem that way. I mean, hell is, listen, not a bad word, but a horrific place. It involves the utter end of the possibility of even knowing God. It involves an eternity of separation from God. It all involves the issue of the heart. If you've looked at the title for this week, Exchanging the Truth for a Lie, who's done the exchanging? I mean, if truth is out there and the lie is out there, we read Romans chapter 1 where God is saying in a panoramic way, the human race has exchanged the glory of God for the worship of creatures and animals and created things. New Age movement, 2012ers, Mayans, all the rest. We exchange the glory of God in infinite for finite things that want the worship and want the adoration, but are not God. So exchanging truth for a lie, listen, when I think in terms of deism and nihilism and existentialism and all the rest, I think of systems or strongholds of the mind and heart. How do they develop? Well, they always have somebody that authored it. I mean, they always have somebody that it's authored their, well, like, well, Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher, the man that wrote about the will to power. As a matter of fact, concept of his belief is this will to power is the primary motivation of life. It's where the wars come from, where control is all about. The will, and some believe that Hitler took that premise, the will to power, in addition to his supernaturalism that he engaged to literally will into power by sheer force of will. The war and the conflict that will, the goal would be then to exert control, the will to power. Maybe Frederick never talked about the fallen cherub, the five I wills of the fallen cherub, the will to power, the will to take the throne of God, the will to uproot itself from its finite created circle, become autonomous and dethrone the Creator. Listen, if you've exchanged the truth for a lie, what is the lie? Lies in somebody's heart that are stuck there because of life. I think that's what's true about Friedrich Nietzsche. I think that's true about a number of writers that, you know, we read about and that we hear about in history and that we're made to read in colleges. It's amazing to look at his will to power issue. His concept that God is dead. God is dead. Well, the idea that God is dead in the purest sense, and that all of religion and all of Christianity and everybody's obscured God. And listen, you know what? In reading Nietzsche, you find somebody that's angry. You find somebody that's mad. It's like atheism, in a way. Some people thought that Friedrich Nietzsche was an atheist. But I think that he was beyond that concept. There was this disgust with what the world maybe has done with God, and so therefore the death of God, God is dead in the good sense. The will to power and the other works, many different works that he's done. The incredible influence that he wielded truly. But Frederick didn't live well. He had some joys of life. He had some illnesses in life. It is also said that he died crazed. And that's really what this series deals with. In exchanging truth for a lie, politicians, military leadership, those in the world of finance. It doesn't make any difference. You can be down there on the street creating a garage band that becomes Black Sabbath, that becomes Ozzy Osbourne. And when you read the lyrics, and what we do is what's called lyric analysis. It's true, you can do it. It's what apologist Cornelius Van Til taught. Presuppositional analysis. Analyzing the presuppositions of a person's life. The teaching behind Cornelius Van Til as a Christian apologist deeply influenced the great theologian Francis Schaeffer, who taught students and taught me how to look at art, listen to lyrics of music, read a newspaper, read a book, and seek to analyze the presuppositions. What is it that they believe? If I was to listen to you for an hour or two, talk, I might begin to come to a conclusion or get an idea of what it is you believe. When I used to listen to my dad, when I used to listen to others, you know, I'd get a concept. Well, they're like a deist. They're like an atheist. They're like they're an agnostic. So analyzing Nietzsche is analyzing, in my view, in my impression of Nietzsche. I wonder what it would have been like to engage him on an evangelistic, witnessing, you know, engagement. Because I see Nietzsche as bitter. I see Nietzsche as mad. I see Nietzsche as cynical. I see Nietzsche seeking and grasping, angry at life, talking about hypocrisies and God is dead and man's only choice in life or man's only drivenness in life is simply his desire to will to power, which may really mean his will for survival. Nietzsche had in the concepts of what he taught, and what some of you listening might have in your heart, just the will to survive and avoid death. You know how many people avoid death? You ever watch again and again and again the videos back when it occurred, 9/11? The towers are coming down. Hundreds and hundreds of people are running. As the cameras are showing mass numbers of people running away with that black stuff around their nose and mouth, dust in their hair. It shows individuals leaping out of the building to their death because the fires and the heat got so hot. But those that were running had this incredible fear, angst, dread on their face. They would take a moment to look back over their shoulder while they were moving fast forward, to see if anything was coming down, if it would get them, if it would hit them. The will to survive and avoid death. The will to survive and avoid death. Is that why some are looking into cryonics? Some want to somehow believe in reincarnation. Others believe the Space Brothers might bring some kind of life to us. The atheist believes, and many believe, that when you die, zip, that's it. How's that going for you? How's that make you feel? You live with no idea of origins or endings or meaning, and then you die and zip, you're gone. Is that it? I look at some of the what are called intellectuals. I even look at Darwin. And when they come to the end, when they come to dying, when they come to the very end, they so many times change their mind. It's like someone has said there's no atheists in the foxhole, you know, where there's bullets passing over top of your head. The will to power, is it really the will to survive and avoid death, as Nietzsche suggested? Is it just simply a pessimistic philosophy of life? Somehow to will to do something with yourself, to do something in life. You know, so many people, and that's what Nietzsche taught too, there's no purpose. Nihilism, however you want to pronounce it, is the concept of many people. Listen, I see kids that are goth, and that's exactly their concept about, well, death and dying and dark places and sadness and bitterness and emptiness and cutting yourself and suicide and, you know, all of that, you know, thinking of that goes futile, like it says in Romans 1, where foolish hearts are darkened. Why? When you exchange truth that is pregnant with hope, that is pregnant with life, that is pregnant with awesomeness, that is pregnant with relationship to God, eternal life, forgiveness of the guilt and sin of our own lives, new life, love, that's pregnant with the ability to experience love that pours in from God, presence and power that comes in from God. It's incredible. You know, if living this life is only about willing, a will to survive and avoid death, like those, well, the majority avoided death at 9/11. Overwhelming majority of Americans, you avoided death, 9/11. So many got away. I mean, there was so many that died, but so many got away. In China, so many died, over 700, but so many got away. In Afghanistan, so many Christians just were killed by the Taliban, but others have gotten away. In the context of exchanging truth for a lie, it's what globalism is based on. It's with the Luciferic principle. Jesus said that Lucifer, the fallen cherub, the inspirer of globalism, the one that will have a counterfeit incarnation, the Antichrist, and bring a rule to the world that the world has never seen. Wonder how Friedrich Nietzsche wrote a book called The Antichrist. Not what you think. But the Antichrist, Satan in human skin, he knows who he is. He's not going to change. He's here for one thing. It's what gets me about 2012ers and New Agers and those who are kind of spiritually esoteric. There's a lot of spiritual experience, but no knowledge in experiential sense of God. You don't know how to talk about God loving you, knowing you, speaking to you, guiding you, directing you. Nietzsche, as I've read and read about him, never felt the power, the presence, the love, the forgiveness of God. Nietzsche was one that never opened his life to God coming into it so that he could experience God. You want to talk about life? See, when I talk about the other side of the fence, In the 60s, I lived on the other side of the fence. In the 60s, all the way to 1975, I lived on the other side of the fence. I didn't know God. Kind of pushed out there into the crowd of life where bitterness and fighting and surviving and avoiding death. I mean, how many times have some of my listeners right now, maybe with drugs, maybe with alcohol, maybe a car accident, maybe disease, you came to the brink of death. You didn't want to die. You feared death. Maybe life has been bitter. Maybe life has been hard, and so you've got cynicism. I can tell you that God took the cynicism away. God took the hedonistic part of me away. God took the grip of the false gods and goddesses away. See, one thing about God is that God is there and reveals himself as God, as his truth, God that loves us, God that comes for us, God that seeks us. But if you wanted to say, you know what, I'm going to make God out the way I want him to be. I want to be kind of an eternal Alcoholics Anonymous theologian. I'm simply going to say, God is whatever I want to say he is. How's that working for you? The will to survive. You see it on the streets all the time. You know, on the streets, you can see even street people fight each other over a candy bar or cigarettes, over a blanket, over a coat, over shoes. The will to survive and avoid death. And this is Russ Dizdar tonight on Survive to Thrive, the radio network, guest host. And we're glad to be with you. ShatterTheDarkness.net is our website. And a couple conferences coming up. We're talking about nihilism or nihilism, as some express it. And we're talking about Nietzsche a little bit and some of the philosophers. And if you've read philosophers and, listen, if you've done lyric analysis, I mean, really, Ozzy Osbourne is kind of a philosopher. I mean, when you look at the lyrics of his songs and some of the things he talks about, some of the things he writes about, some of the experiences, incredible things, And there's always the concept that God is there, but not knowing God. There's the mix of hedonism, party till you puke, which we'll talk about Friday. But there's also the embrace of a darkness that is all around. Confusion and, well, he talks about megnomiliac. So when I speak tonight about this exchanging truth for a lie, that's God's panoramic view of the fallen human race, where there's a choice. Although they knew God, there's a choice to thrust God away. And one of the ways you do that is simply just don't listen. Like my dad, I talked about in the first hour, 6 to 7, where at 70 years old, I said to him, you've never read one verse of Scripture. You don't know one verse, because there's life, there's power, there's revelation. How are you going to talk about God if you don't read the letter, the book he wrote? How are you going to know anything if you don't dig into it? If you don't see what it is that God is saying? And so when I look at Nietzsche and philosophers, and I see their impact on political leaders and on other philosophers, on scientists, on college students at a coffee shop drinking their coffee reading Nietzsche. You know, life is here and we're willing to survive and we don't want to die and God is dead and there is cynicism and you don't got a prayer and you got to just kind of find something, purpose, a touch of something. Well, can I ask you a question? What do you live for? Could I ask you the question tonight? Sometimes people write in and send me questions. But I'm going to ask a question tonight. You know, what do you live for? How's that going for you? I mean, what you live for has everything to do with what you believe. Even as a real believer in Christ, someone that can grow and develop in that relationship with God, that relationship can become spiritually huge and powerful and fruitful, and you can look over your shoulders and see all the things that God is accomplishing in and through your life. But so many believers live this subnormal, abnormal life. Because instead of putting truth into practice, I mean, there's really an exchange, kind of a holding the truth out there from a distance. You know, some believers in Christ, they don't want to go any deeper. They're trying to live. And listen, when I see a believer that says, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. When I see a believer that does not express the power of this incredible supernatural indwelling hope. You ever look at the word hope in Scripture? One of the primary verses, I sign my name with it thousands of times. It's a great verse. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Simply says this: may the God of hope. And the word hope is used so many times in the New Testament. Some have said that it can be translated divine optimism. I say that it's a supernaturally operative disposition. It's kind of the presence of God within that keeps moving you concerning all the potentials and possibilities and truths that God has given. And so when I read that verse in Romans 15, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Can you see the will of God in this? Do you know what God wants for you? This is God's will. The God... I wish I could have witnessed to Friedrich Nietzsche. I literally wish I could have engaged him, even if he cussed at me, even if he yelled at me. I mean, he wrote in bombastic ways against Christians. He's mad. See, cynicism in life, bitterness in life, can lead us to be mad. I mean, if you reach down into your life, is there love, is there God, is there hope? Do you live free inside out and live with dynamic purpose? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now that God coming into your life and you knowing God brings what I've found in Isaiah 48, what is best for your life, teaches you what is best, and then leads you in the way that you should go. As a believer in Christ, if you don't grow, first you grieve the Spirit of God who's been placed inside of you to move you to growth. You neglect the powerful Word of God. You neglect so great a salvation. And so today, it may be that God brings conviction and God brings engagement and says, stop living the subnormal, abnormal, spiritually small, spiritually weak Christian life. You want to grow huge spiritually? Then you've got to go deep in the Scriptures. You've got to embrace and then put it into practice. That's what James chapter 1 is all about. You can't just hear the Word of God, do nothing with it, deceive yourself. Stay the same. Listen, if you're the same as you were 6 months ago, if you're the same spiritually as a believer in Christ than you were 5 years ago, something's wrong. We have a new series coming up, How to Become Powerful in Prayer. There's about 9 of the messages that are coming up that will be added. One's called The Privilege of Prayer. One is called The Power of Prayer. One is called The Promises of Prayer. One's called The Possibilities of Prayer. One is called The Dire Need for Prayer. One is called How Do You Pray? One is called When Do You Pray? One of those is called Prayer in the Word. One is called Prayer and the Holy Spirit. One is called Prayer and Spiritual Authority, and one is called Prayer or Praying Against Evil. One is called Prayer and Passion. One is called Prayer and Answers. Do you know that prayer was designed for answers? Prayer is not a conversation piece. It is a literally a tool. It involves interaction, relationship. But it involves the intent of answer. When believers tell me that they haven't got an answer in prayer, I ask, see, a deist, like a nihilist, they really don't pray. I mean, Nietzsche never got down on his knees praying for a half hour that we know of anyway. I mean, as far as like asking God that he might receive, seeking that he might find, and knocking that a door might be opened. As a believer that has the Spirit of God dwelling in you, God, the God of hope, you know what that verse says? That God wills that you be filled with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you right now, in the world that you're living in, economically, environmentally, politically, on a military scale, do we need hope? The last thing we need is the masqueraded false peace, false hope of the globalistic system that's coming. I mean, literally, there is this... When it's the lie leads us out of the limb. And when the limb cracks and we fall and we're crushed, betrayed, cheated, New Agers will be betrayed, 2012ers betrayed, esoteric spiritualists betrayed, Luciferians committed to the cause betrayed. In the end, embracing the lie in exchange for the truth, well, it seals you off from God, opens you wide for the other side. How's that going for you? See, the ability is to now stop God summoning us. Exchange the lie for truth. That's what it is to believe in Christ, to look at the sin in our life. Look where we're at. Look at the death and the sin and the emptiness and the lostness. and realize that God, with his arms wide open, summons us to come home, summons us to relationship, summons us out of the sin, the death, the hell, and into a relationship of forgiveness, cleansing, freedom, empowerment, eternal life, and seeing God face to face. When people live all of their lives without God dwelling in power and in love inside of them with the gift of life that he's come to give, it's kind of like seeing dry, hard, hard old sponges. Just hard and brittle and dry. And if you pick it up and try to rub it, it scratches. It's abrasive. That's Friedrich Nietzsche. In so many philosophies of life, that's really atheism. That's old deism when it comes down to it. When the atheist, the deist, the nihilist lay on a bed and they're dying, what do they have? Someday when you're there and you're going to close your eyes, maybe, like Ted Stevens, the senator. Maybe those that died in the plane, what was it, early this morning, last night? Maybe that those that died in the plane, when the plane began to go down, I mean, I've ridden in planes so many times. We've been in some storms. Now, of course, Ted's 86 years old. But he's now dead. Yesterday, alive. Today, dead. Yesterday, talking. Today, dead. Yesterday, could pick up the phone. Now, dead. What does the atheist, the deist, and the nihilist say about death? Again, where there's this will to survive and avoid death, battling the crowd with bloody lip and one shoe on and one shoe off. Life then is really a pain. Life then is the dry, hard, crusty sponge that can only be abrasive to others. See, without God, without hope, without life, without love inside of you, what can you tell your children? What can you tell anyone? When you can't even close your eyes and feel God, feel love, have the experience of the Spirit of God inside of you, pulsating life, able to hear the Spirit of the Lord speak, able to have within you the knowing, the gnosis, the experiential knowing that you know, that you know, that you know God, and that you have eternal life. You ever read that in 1 John? I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know. Gnosko, Greek word, experientially know that you have eternal life. I know that. Nietzsche didn't. So many atheists, they don't. They're just mad and yell and yell and yell. And the deist, pompous. The nihilist, depressed. What are you living for? What do you have to look forward to? See, when I looked at my mother, and though she's not a theologian, she knows one thing. Jesus Christ lives in her life. God loves her. God knows her name. That when she finally closes her eyes one day on this side of the fence, she will open them and see God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord is what the Bible says. It is so pregnant with hope. It is so packed with truth. See, truth leads to God. Lies lead away. Truth leads to hope. Lies lead to hopelessness. Truth leads to the experience of God in Christ. But lies will do all that they can to cover you from ever knowing. So tonight on Survive to Thrive, so many of you know about how to survive globalism, new technologies, the rise of the Antichrist, economic disasters, coming chaos, Nephilim, Antichrist, end of the world, and what you don't want the government to take away from you. But when we all stop, I mean, I feel sadness tonight. I feel sadness for Friedrich Nietzsche, once again looking at his materials today, once again reading more about him, once again thinking about a human being like that dry, empty, hard, cracked sponge. Didn't have life, and guess what? Could not give it, could not speak it, could not testify. No exceeding hope inside of him. No joy. Can I ask you tonight, if you know the joy and the power and the life of God inside of you, because when it comes down to it, it means more than money. It means more than survival. It means more than living. It means more than economics. It means more. Because Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal. I'm not talking about just the physical. Obviously, the physics of God on an atomic level. Check it out. 1 Corinthians 15. The mortal will put on immortality in a flash, in an atomic moment. That's the Greek word, atomic. By the exertion of God's power, for every single human being that has returned to God and God has come into their life through Jesus Christ, with the power. The physics of God is, if you're a believer, it's the physics of God inside of you. Omnion Zoe, eternal life. When the glorification comes in that twinkling of an eye, the exertion of the power of God, instantaneously, quicker than a second, you go from mortality to immortality. Indestructible immortality. And let me say, a glorified, indestructible, awesome immortality with eyes that can see God face to face. And it's in that relationship that we read the revelation of God that the deists don't want to read, that the atheists don't want to read, that the nihilists reject. It's truth that they reject that has no effect on them. Every believer in Christ, you're told to build yourself up in your most holy faith, taking the truth and speaking it back into you. Listen, if you don't have anybody to preach to you, do what I've told congregations to do for years. Preach the Word of God to yourself. It's pregnant with hope. It's packed with faith and encouragement, reality, truth. You might be living by some lies. You might be holding on to fears that grip your life. When instead, truth grasped and put into practice can literally pack your life with a radiance, with a joy, with a hope, with life. And isn't that what Jesus, when Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give them life and life abundantly. Life, Zoe, quality of life. Life that flows out of heaven. You see, when an individual says yes to God and says, Christ, come into my life, the living Christ comes into your life, brings the power of a new life, a new nature, and breaks all the barriers. And it all begins. Life in Christ, life in God on this side of the fence begins. And if you're growing, and if you're developing, and if you're walking with God, and you're talking to God, and you're listening to God, and if you've joined His mission in reaching everyone else, wow, a life on fire with heaven's grace. It's the kind of life that is really unquenchable, that has a lot to talk about. God is good. God is great. God did this. God did that. God answered this prayer. God did this in my life. God helped me out of this. God healed me. God's going to give me an indestructible and immortal body. What about you? See, in the exchanging of truth for a lie, there's always a disintegration. When you read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down, the suppression of truth by the activity of wickedness. For the Luciferian and the Satanist and the undergrounder and the reconnaissance agent listening. You know, you suppress the truth by wickedness. And you embrace the finite and the lie. And clearly, the character of your life, what you believe and what you do. Well, it says there in Romans 1 what your life is like. The evidences of that kind of life. Have you read it? Here's what it says about those who exchange truth for a lie, those who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Not only about the depraved mind issue, but 29 says this. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve, that means applaud, those who do them also. What side of the fence? Either God is inside of your life through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit of God, and you are born of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, put the Word of God into practice and grow spiritually huge and powerful and massive for Christ. If you're that dry, empty, dead, hard, brittle sponge, scratching through life, scratching everybody around you, then why don't you stop? Because the offer from God right now is that He can come in and fill you. That life can come in, Christ can come in, the Spirit of God can come in, healing, new life, forgiveness, right this very moment. I don't care. Bow on a knee if you want to. Put your arms up into the air if you want to and say, God, I'm living as a dead, dry sponge, brittle and hard and empty. And I don't want any longer. I don't want to be an atheist, an agnostic. I don't want to be a hedonist. I don't want to be a nihilist. I don't want to be a deist. I don't want to be a New Ager. I don't want to be a Luciferian. I want to, God, I accept Jesus Christ. Come into my life right now, Jesus Christ. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let your presence pour into my life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you will save people, that you will save them now, that now is the day, now is the hour, now is the moment. Is there any good reason why you won't give your life to Jesus Christ right now? Exchange your bitterness for life. Exchange your anger for God's love. Exchange your hopelessness for an incredible supernatural hope that God will pack you with if you'll come and let the living Christ come into your life. Doesn't matter who you are, military man, political man, science man, doesn't make any difference your background. The grace of God, bigger than the totality of your sins and the sum total of the sins of the world, Christ is the sin bearer. He conquered it and death and Satan and hell. If you don't know him, Jesus is knocking at the door and wants to come into your life. Without him, you die as a dry, dead, to God hardened individual, and you're gone for life forever. You are without God forever. No second chance. I plead with you. I love you. God loves you. Come to Christ. Believers, listen, you're listening to Russ Dizdar, the guest host. Survive to Thrive, the radio network. Thank God for the screaming out that Steve Quell has done all these years, right? Thank God for the heads up and the warnings constantly. But with all of the urgency and all of the radical evil I have to deal with and hear about, and let me tell you what, it propels me. It moves me. All the more, share the love of God. Share the hope of God. Share the healing of God. Share the power of God. Share the miracle of God. Share about the hand of God. End of the hours, my friend. This is Russ Dizdar. We're glad to be here with you. Our website, shatterthedarkness.net. Listen, this is Survive to Thrive, the radio network. Good night.